The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 11. Tedious Task. It could be said that Annabelle had a photographic memory. She memorized some of the figures at a glance, so she was quick to understand what all the documents were about. Only then did she begin to input the data into the company's system. It was a slightly complex process, but she was up to the task. She quickly got used to it and her typing got faster by the second. The dense sound of her fingers hitting the keys on the keyboard attracted the attention of her colleagues. They began to whisper amongst themselves. "Wow! She types so fast. I thought I was a pro at typing, but from the look of things, she will beat me hands down. Didn't they say she is from the countryside where most people are poor? How come she knows how to type so fast?" Annabelle is full of surprises. "I concur. Did you guys see what she did this morning? She finished all her tasks in the blink of an eye. She's so hardworking for someone new to the corporate world. We were wrong about her. No wonder she managed to become Mr. Benton's fiancée. So what? Haven't you noticed that Mr. Benton doesn't pay attention to her at all? He doesn't even talk to her. She has been speaking to Nina so rudely. I'm sure she was given this heavy task as punishment. It serves her right. The way I see it, she will have a hard time from now on. Let's see how long she will hold on. Whatever. It's none of our business. We shouldn't get involved. The battle isn't ours to fight." Every word that was spoken just now wafted into Annabelle's ears. She had a lot on her plate, so she ignored them. She didn't intend to overwork herself. She would snack and have a drink whenever she was hungry or thirsty. And if she was tired, she would go for a walk. Closing hours soon rolled by. Most of the employees left, leaving Annabelle, who still had a lot of work to do. She went to have dinner at 6 o'clock. She never joked with her meals. When she got back, she met Nina pounding on her desk like crazy. "Annabelle. Where the hell did you go? Are you done with the task I assigned to you? How lazy can you be? I made it clear that it must be completed today because it's needed tomorrow. Instead of working hard to finish the task on time, you went about strolling, eating snacks, and drinking like a lazy glutton. Why are you behaving like this? Is it because you don't know how to do the job? If so, you should tell me so I can give it to someone more capable. Will you bear the responsibility if the company suffers any loss because of the delay?" Annabelle covered her ears as Nina gave her an earful. In the end, she uttered, "If my memory serves me right, you said I must finish it today. It's not even 7 o'clock yet. Don't rush me. I know exactly what I am doing." Nina wasn't having it. She kept ranting. "Don't talk big here. You just started to work here and enough," Annabelle shouted, raising her hand. Nina shut up immediately. The few workers present were stunned. Annabelle detested noisy people. Nina was getting on her nerves, so she couldn't take it anymore. "I still have many hours before the deadline. If you want to scold me that bad, you should wait until tomorrow. Maybe, will you? If you continue disturbing me, I'll report to the higher UPS that I wasn't able to work because of you. You will have to take responsibility for any losses, not me. You don't want that, do you?" Too Nina was short of words. She stared at Annabelle in anger for a long time. "Okay. You are shirking your responsibility now, aren't you? Fine. We'll see about that tomorrow." Nina then stormed out with her blood boiling and her face scarlet. Suddenly, she stormed back in and took out her anger on the other employees. "None of you can leave without finishing your work. A bunch of lazy bones." Annabelle sneered, ignored Nina, and continued to work. The other employees finished their work and left one after the other. At dusk, Annabelle was left alone in the office. It wasn't until 9:30 that she finally finished her work. Other employees would have only finished the same task at about 11 without taking any breaks. But the efficient Annabelle managed her time well and finished up earlier despite taking breaks in between. Chapter 12 Fear of the Dark. Just as Annabelle was getting ready to leave, she got a call from Nina. How long do you need to finish your task?
I'm done, Annabelle replied.
What? Did you cross-check everything? Are you 100% sure that there is no mistake? Nina didn't expect her to finish it so soon.
Yes, I'm very sure.
If you have nothing else to say, I'll hang up now.
I'm going home, Annabelle said impatiently.
Wait. That's not all. You can't get off work now. Nina raised her voice all of a sudden.
Why?
Annabelle asked, stopping at the door.
Well, the thing is I just received a call. There's another document that must be inputted into the system.
I'm on my way with it.
Just wait there.
Just send it to me via email.
I can't wait for you to come over at this time.
No, it's complicated.
You haven't handled this kind of work before.
If you make a mistake, we will be in big trouble.
Wait for me.
Why are you whining like a spoiled child?
As an employee of such a prestigious company, you should be prepared to work overtime.
I'm already home, but I have no problem with coming back just to make sure everything is set for tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
Annabelle didn't give it much thought. She didn't think Nina would have sacrificed her time just to make things difficult for her. After all, it was already late. As Annabelle waited, she listened to music and played games to relax.
40 minutes passed and Nina still hadn't arrived.
Annabelle went to the ladies' room. She played games for 20 minutes after returning to her desk, but Nina was still nowhere to be found. She called Nina.
Why haven't you arrived yet?
I have been waiting for over an hour, it's not my fault that I'm running late. I took a taxi to save time, but there was a car accident. I just got out of a very bad traffic.
Not to worry, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
Gosh, what an unlucky day. The higher UPS should have notified me about this earlier. I can't believe I'm rushing to the office at this time of the night.
Hey, drive faster.
I'm in a hurry, listening to Nina's complaints, Annabelle had a headache. Her patience was fast running out.
Just make it snappy, unbeknown to her, Nina was actually chilling at home in a big t-shirt.
She dumped her phone after hanging up and went into the bathroom.
What an idiot.
Annabelle, you will wait for me until Christ comes back. Nina laughed out loud like an evil witch.
Another 40 minutes passed and Nina still didn't show up.
Annabelle's patience bar was red now. She called Nina again.
Do you want me to spend the whole night here?
Where are you? At this time, Nina was lying comfortably on the sofa with a facial mask on her face.
Why are you so impatient?
Do you think I enjoy being late?
My hands are tied now.
Just continue waiting.
I'm very close.
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Hey, hurry up.
Can we get there in 10 minutes?
Yes, right.
Well, I will wait here for 10 more minutes.
If you don't show up afterward, till leave.
When Nina heard the abrupt disconnect tone, she threw her phone on the sofa, picked up a grape, and ate it leisurely. It wasn't until now that Annabelle began to smell something fishy. After thinking for a while, she forwarded Nina's phone number to someone and texted, find out the location of this number. A response came 5 minutes later.
Annabelle's blood boiled as she stared at her phone screen.
Nina was in a residential area, and she wasn't moving at all.
In a fit of pique, she slapped the table.
Damn it.
How dare you play dirty tricks on me, Nina?
It seems I have been too kind to you.
What was I thinking when I believed that you were indeed on your way?
Annabelle picked up her bag and walked toward the door as she began planning how to take revenge.
Just as she reached out for the doorknob, the light tripped off. The empty office instantly became dark. Annabelle jumped and looked around in horror. She slowly walked back to her desk. She took out her phone from her bag and turned on the flashlight. She had great fear of dark ever since she was a little girl. Her heart began to pound against her chest. Even though she was feeling cold all over, her palms and forehead were sweaty. As her fear worsened, she went under the table and hugged herself with her chin resting on her knees. The flashlight of her phone wasn't so bright. It didn't do much to get rid of the darkness around her. What happened? Was the electricity off? How long will it take to be repaired? Shaking like a leaf, Annabelle tapped her phone screen, intending to call the security office. But she suddenly realized that she didn't have the number. She grew so nervous that she couldn't think straight anymore. Chapter 13 Where is Annabelle? It's already 11 but Annabelle hasn't come back yet. Where the hell is she? Hanging around with men. Rupert had just gone downstairs to get a glass of water when he heard Kathy's irritable words. Erica huffed, she must have lived a dissolute life in the countryside. Who knows if she's having fun at some bar? What an annoying girl. A strange feeling filled Rupert's heart when he heard these words. But when he recalled how Annabelle had behaved last night, the feeling dissipated. Her whereabouts was none of this business. As soon as Erica saw Rupert, she said, "I know you don't care about Annabelle. But you can't just allow her to do whatever she likes as long as she's under our roof. Any bad action from her would dent your image. After all, many people know that she's your fiancé. I advise that you call off the engagement and throw her out of this house. Who knows what trouble she will cause if she continues to stay here. We can't clean up after her or face the consequences of her actions. You should do the needful." Rupert shrugged and said nonchalantly, "Grandpa said the engagement will be called off in 3 months. She will stay here for 3 whole months. Erica screamed. "Gosh. She has only been here for a few days, but I can't stand her anymore. You'd better discuss it with your grandpa and drive her away as soon as possible. Why don't you tell him yourself?" Rupert glanced at his mother, raising one of his eyebrows. This suggestion shut Erica up. She knew that Bruce would scold her harshly if she ever brought that up. Rupert went back upstairs, unwilling to continue the conversation. As soon as he walked into his study, he saw his phone on the desk lit up. A message just came in. He clicked it and saw one word, "Help." The message was from a strange number, so he reasoned that it was a prank. He dropped the phone aside and continued to work. But for some reason, he couldn't concentrate and was a little restless. The clock had already chimed 12. After having a shower, Rupert lay down on his bed, but he couldn't sleep a wink. He kept tossing and turning on his bed as he wondered why Annabelle wasn't back yet. Where could she have gone? / That's none of your business, Rupert / muttering those words, he closed his eyes and tried to shake off the thoughts of her. However, it didn't work. He turned over as it occurred to him that Annabelle was new here. She didn't know anyone else in Daubug. Rupert suddenly remembered the strange message he received. The phone number seemed familiar. He checked the record of his chats with his grandfather. Bruce had sent him Annabelle's number, but he hadn't bothered saving it. The phone number was the same as the one the strange message came from. Why did she ask for help? Was he in danger? # Suddenly, Rupert Satupan dialed the number but it was switched off. His forehead broke out in cold sweat. He began to wonder if something bad had happened to Annabelle. Without thinking twice, Rupert got out of bed and threw on some clothes. He couldn't think of anywhere else that Annabelle would be, so he went to the company. He planned to interrogate the security guards and check the CCTV footage of her movement at work just to get some clues. Rupert saw that everywhere in the company was pitch black. The security guard on duty told him, "There's a problem with the power circuit. I have already made arrangements for it to be repaired at the crack of dawn before the employees arrive. When Rupert asked about Annabelle, the security guard scratched the back of his head and replied, I haven't seen her. What do you mean? Didn't she come to work? Rupert inquired with a frown. I saw her come to work, but I didn't see her get off. I'm sure of it. Annabelle was quite famous in Benton Group. Almost everyone in the company knew who she was. A sea of eyes followed her everywhere she went, so the security guard always noticed her whenever she went past the security post. Did that mean Annabelle was still in the building? And why did she send him that strange message? The security guard suddenly raised his hand and added, that reminds me, I heard some employees discussing on their way out that Nina gave Annabelle a hard task, causing her to stay back after closing hour. I think she might be in there. Perhaps she was too tired and fell asleep. In a flash, Rupert barged into the company and went upstairs to have a look. The security guard ran after him with a torchlight in his hand. Annabelle? Annabelle, Rupert called out several times. However, the only response he got was his voice echoing in the hallway. The first thing he saw when he got into the secretarial department was Annabelle's bag on a desk. He looked down and saw her feet. Rupert squatted in a hurry, and the security guard also pointed the flashlight underneath the desk. Annabelle was curled up like a fetus. Her face was deathly pale and her sweaty body was trembling. His voice echoing in the hallway. The first thing he saw when he got into the secretarial department was Annabelle's bag on a desk. He looked down and saw her feet. Rupert squatted in a hurry, and the security guard also pointed the flashlight underneath the desk. Annabelle was curled up like a fetus. Her face was deathly pale and her sweaty body was trembling. Chapter 14 Wishful Thinking. Hey, Annabelle. Annabelle. Rupert uttered, holding her in his arms and patting her face gently. What's wrong with you? Are you hurt? Still shaking with her eyes closed, Annabelle murmured, it's so dark. I'm scared. Don't leave me. Don't go. Dark. It turned out she was scared of the dark. Rupert's heart softened after this realization. As he looked at Annabelle's face, he recalled the little girl who huddled up beside him with a pale face years ago. A sense of pity brewed in his heart. Holding her hand, Rupert said, "Don't be scared. I'm here now. It's all right. I'll take you home." His assuring words worked like magic. Annabelle stopped shaking. She kept mumbling, but Rupert couldn't make out what she was saying. He just stood upright with her in his arms. "I'll never leave you. You are safe now. Don't be scared, okay?" He continued to comfort her on the way out. Rupert gently put her in the passenger seat. When he tried to fasten the seat belt for her, he saw that she was gripping his shirt with both hands. The woman in front of him was totally different from the one who told him off yesterday. His heart ached to see her like this. Rupert blamed himself for not coming sooner. If he had saved her number when Bruce sent it to him, he would have saved her earlier. Anyway, it was better late than never. He couldn't even bear to think of what would happen to her if she stayed in the dark for the whole night. Rupert drove home at a high speed and carried Annabelle to her bedroom. He wiped the sweat on her forehead with a wet towel and then tucked her in. Just as he turned to leave, a hand grasped his pant. He turned around, only to find that Annabelle's eyebrows were knitted as she slept uneasily. Her face was still a little pale. He tried to loosen her grip, but she caught his hand instead. "Don't go. Stay with me, please." Her voice was shaky, not indifferent like it usually was. It was like that of a child who needed to be comforted. Suddenly, Rupert imagined Annabelle's face changing into that of that little girl. He blinked severally. From the first day he saw Annabelle's face, he felt that she had a striking resemblance to that girl. The feeling was stronger now. After hesitating for a while, Rupert sighed and sat on the edge of the bed. Rupert kept seeing the little girl's face when he looked at Annabelle with tenderness in his eyes. It was as if they were one and the same person. If she was the little girl, he didn't mind staying with her and accompanying her in the dark for the rest of his life. However, he dismissed the thought as wishful thinking. It was already dawn by the time Annabelle woke up. A chink of sunlight fell on her face. She yawned and looked around in confusion. Before she could tell where she was, she met Rupert's weird gaze. As soon as Annabelle noticed she was holding his hand, she loosened her grip and sat up. What are you doing here? The answer to her question came to her mind as soon as she blurted it out. She suffered a panic attack yesterday. Her phone ran out of power. She was hyperventilating and her heart was beating faster than normal. Her throat was patched, so she texted Rupert a message instead of calling him. When she saw Rupert's bloodshot eyes and overall tired look, she tried to recall what happened last night. She scratched her head in embarrassment. You brought me back, didn't you? Thank you. But why did you sleep in my room? Annabelle didn't think he needed to be here. In her opinion, he should have left once he tucked her in bed. Why did he lay beside her as if they were a real couple? Rupert became cold again. Weren't you the one who held my hand and begged me to stay with you? Have you forgotten? Annabelle's face turned red immediately. But. I didn't mean to say that. I wasn't in my right mind, beauty you were. You should have left as soon as fell asleep. So I was wrong to have taken care of you for the whole night? No, I. It didn't mean that Annabelle just couldn't wrap her head around why he went out of his way to look after her. She was used to him being cold and uncaring. This was what he got in return. Rupert sucked his teeth. He regretted feeling pity for her and staying by her side last night. Don't read any meaning to my actions. I just didn't want anything bad to happen to you. My grandpa would be mad at me if I got hurt. I did it for myself, so don't flatter yourself. Words like this usually hurt women. In Annabelle's case, she was relieved. She thought that this was more like him. Didn't have any intention to flatter myself. Since you are so ruffled, it appears you gave this too much thought, she retorted, rolling her eyes at them. Chapter 15 Brush with Death. Rupert shot her a searing glare and stormed out. Outside, he bumped into Kathy. Kathy tilted her head and saw that Annabelle was sitting up on the bed. She then looked at her cousin with her eyes squinted. Rupert, why did you come out of Annabelle's room at this time? Rupert turned a deaf ear to her and left. His reaction made Kathy even more curious. She followed him. Don't tell me you slept in Annabelle's room. What did you do last night? Back in the room, Annabelle became fidgety when she heard Kathy's curious questions. She got out of bed and rushed into the bathroom to wash up. She didn't need anyone to tell her that she looked a mess. She was so embarrassed that Rupert saw her in that bad state. He'd better not say a word to anyone about what happened or how scared I looked last night, Annabelle huffed, brushing her teeth. All this was Nina's fault. Never again would Annabelle be deceived by her. She knew that troublemaker's intentions now. After Annabelle washed up and got dressed, she went downstairs to the dining room. Rupert dropped his fork, stood up, and left without a word. This didn't get to Annabelle at all. She just sat down to have breakfast. His or anyone else's attitude was the least of her worries now. She was starving and lacked strength. She served herself some food. Kathy, who had been pestering Rupert for answers, was disappointed after he left. She turned to Annabelle. I underestimated you, Annabelle. You have only been here for a few days, but you are already seducing Rupert. What did you do to him? Why did he come out of your room this morning? What? Erica dropped her fork. She also queried Annabelle, what did you do to my son? Or should I say what did you two do? Besides, Why did you stay out late last night? Where the hell did you go? In the face of this joint interrogation, Annabelle sneered inwardly and flashed them a sarcastic smile. We are all adults. What else can a man and a woman do together behind closed doors at night, /slut? All you know is toes douche, amen. Shame on you, /Kathy stamped her feet. /Watch your language, /Annabelle took a huge bite of bacon and chewed gracefully. I'm Rupert's fiancé. One don't have to seduce him to do anything. It just happened, /plus speechless and angry at the same time, Kathy dropped her fork and stood up. She clenched her fists as she matched up the stairs in a fit of pique. Rupert was such an excellent man. Why did he accept to marry this bumpkin? Annabelle didn't deserve him. Annabelle had her breakfast in peace and went out of the house. The driver stepped forward and said, "Miss Hewitt, Mr. Benton ordered me to drive you to work today." Annabelle halted in her tracks. Rupert asked his chauffeur to drive her to work. What the hell was happening? Just as Annabelle was about to say something, Erica showed up and coughed. She eyed Annabelle and then ordered the driver, "Take me to the mall now, but Mr. Benton ordered me to drive Miss Hewitt to work." The driver hesitated as beads of sweat appeared on his forehead. "Don't worry about me. Just drive her instead. I can find my way to work," Annabelle said with a smile. She didn't want the driver to get into trouble because of her. She walked out of the villa and took a taxi to Benton Group. On the way, she sighted a stray dog running in the middle of the traffic. "Please stop the car." Annabelle quickly got out of the taxi, intending to take the dog to the sidewalk. Her grandfather had taken in a lot of stray dogs. As a result, Annabelle grew up to be a dog lover. She couldn't bear to see any dog get hurt or be in danger. Annabelle carefully walked toward the dog. Suddenly, she sighted a red sports car speeding over. Oh no! The dog was going to get crushed. Without sparing it a thought, Annabelle rushed forward and took the dog in her arms. She shut her eyes, afraid of what would happen next. The screeching sound of tires hit Annabelle's ears as the sports car sped past her. After halting, a well-dressed woman stuck her head out of the car window and yelled, "Madwoman. Get away from my car," Annabelle looked at this woman, only to see that her face was familiar. Chapter 16 His admirers. The whimpers of the dog pulled Annabelle's attention away from the familiar woman. She rushed it to the vet. Its front leg had been hit by the car before she got it out of the way. As Annabelle waited in the waiting room, she saw from the clock that she was almost running late for work. She thought for a while before dialing Rupert's number. "What's up?" Rupert's low and cold voice came from the other end of the phone. "I just called to inform you that something came up. I'll be some hours late this morning." Annabelle asked for permission for late coming. "And how is that my business? You don't have to inform me about such a trifle," Rupert uttered irritably. The next second, the call was disconnected. Annabelle pursed her lips. She wondered why he was behaving indifferent, yet so angry. Perhaps he was still not in a good mood. Anyway, she had done her part by informing him. The vet examined the dog carefully and reported that it was just a small wound that would heal in no time. "Oh, that's good to know, but can it be admitted here for further observation?" Annabelle was still a little worried. "Of course," responded the veterinarian with a smile. Annabelle paid $2,000 for the treatment and left without the dog. She planned to find someone to adopt it once it completely recovered. It was almost 11 o'clock by the time Annabelle arrived at Benton Group. "Annabelle, do you have any idea what time it is? Why did you arrive so late?" Nina approached Annabelle with a deep frown, not even giving her time to catch her breath.
"Good morning, Nina. It wasn't intentional. I had something to deal with this morning," Annabelle said politely.
"It wasn't intentional," Nina sneered.
Spare me your silly excuse, Annabelle. You are just a newbie, but you are already skipping work. Are you doing this because you already consider yourself as the boss's wife? Despite her irritation, Annabelle uttered calmly, "Let me get this straight. I'm late, not absent from work. Besides, I already applied for permission for late coming, so I'm not in the wrong here." Shut up. How dare you talk back at me? When did you ask me for permission? You know what? I can't tolerate your excesses anymore. You are fired. Nina pointed at Annabelle, her anger shooting to the roof. Hashtag sensing that the matter was getting out of hand, Annabelle pushed Nina's finger away and said firmly, ask Mr. Benton for permission. You just fired me because I came late. Does that mean you have more authority than the owner of this company? Nina looked horrified for a second. When she saw that a crowd had gathered, she stuttered, "You are taking nonsense. Let's go to Mr. Benton's office so he can set things straight." Okay, let's go. Annabelle readily agreed. She had it in mind to expose Nina for how she made her stay at work overtime last night. Pulling Annabelle by the arm, Nina walked to the door of the CEO's office. She tidied her hair and clothes and looked at herself in the glass nearby before knocking on the door. Compared to Nina, it could be said that Annabelle looked a mess. She had been through a lot just to save the stray dog earlier. Her neat suit was wrinkled, and there was a mud stain on her shirt from hugging the dog so tightly. Seeing how Nina paid attention to her looks and put on a smile, Annabelle finally understood why she was so mean to her. Nina had a thing for Rupert. Annabelle happened to be Rupert's nominal fiancé. No wonder Nina regarded her as a thorn in the flesh. Come in. Nina's smile got more enchanting as soon as she heard Rupert's attractive voice. She opened the door gently. Her smile froze the second she got into the office. Annabelle walked in. She peered over Nina's shoulder and saw a woman standing very close to Rupert. This woman was beautiful, to say the least. Her long curly chestnut hair fell over her neck and reached her cleavage. The red short skirt she was wearing set off her curves and pretty legs. Her made-up face was familiar. She was the same woman who almost ran over the stray dog and cursed Annabelle this morning. "Mr. Benton, this is the featured product for next season." The woman stood very close to Rupert. Her beautiful eyes gleamed with obsession. Everything made sense now. It turned out that this woman was an employee here. No wonder she looked familiar. And judging from her expression, she must be one of Rupert's admirers. Crazy. How many women had a crush on this cold-blooded man? Annabelle frowned slightly and looked at the lofty man with dissatisfaction. He looked dashing in the black handmade Armani suit. His bushy eyebrows were knitted. Under his high nose was a pair of thin lips that looked kissable. He looked like a Greek god. It was no surprise that a handsome and rich man attracted the attention of countless women. However, Annabelle was not one of them. She wasn't interested in him in spite of his looks and heavy pocket. His arrogance made him undesirable. Anyway, they would break off their engagement in 3 months. It didn't matter to her that there was a string of women trying to win his heart. Chapter 17 Being Fair. Bernice, could you kindly excuse me? I need to speak to Mr. Benton about something. Nina glanced at the red-clad lady before turning her attention to Rupert. The name Bernice sounded familiar to Annabelle. Annabelle suddenly realized that Bernice was the director of the design department of a jewelry company owned by Benton Group. Her family had a connection with the Benton family, which enabled her to become a director at such a young age. I'm also speaking with Mr. Benton. Nina, don't you understand that first come, first served? Bernice expressed her dissatisfaction. Rupert leaned in his chair and cast a chilly look at Annabelle. Annabelle had contacted him this morning and told him she would arrive late to work. He wondered why she was in such a mess and why Nina yanked her over so angrily. Modify it, Rupert stated as he handed Bernice the design. All right, Mr. Benton. Bernice nodded, took the design draft, and stood back. Rupert's expression hardened as he looked at Nina and Annabelle.
What's up?
Mr. Benton, Annabelle arrived late to work today for no apparent reason. I can't keep such a careless employee in our secretary department, Nina complained. According to rumors, Bruce forced Rupert into accepting Annabelle as his fiancée. Rupert not only had no feelings for Annabelle but also disliked her. Nina believed Rupert would be impressed if she took advantage of this opportunity to drive Annabelle away. She informed me she would be late today, Rupert stated indifferently while fiddling with his pen. Nina was taken aback. Her lips moved, but she couldn't think of anything to say. It was reported that Rupert disliked Annabelle, who came from the countryside. Nina didn't understand why Rupert defended her.
All right, you may leave now.
Rupert loosened his tie impatiently. Nina and Bernice turned around and walked toward the door.
Wait a minute, Nina, Annabelle remarked, clearing her voice.
Nina stopped and inquired,
What?
Annabelle's eyes darkened. Aren't you going to offer me an explanation for what happened last night?
What exactly happened last night?
Nina replied and looked away with guilty.
You stated you would bring a document to me and requested me to stay in the company to work overtime.
But there was no document to deal with.
Annabelle squinted.
You planned to have me wait at the office all night long. Don't you think you owe me an explanation?
Nina had not anticipated that Annabelle would bring up what happened last night in front of Rupert.
Her countenance changed, but she acted calm and asked,
What are you talking about, Annabelle?
I only requested you to finish your work before heading home yesterday. When did I say I would bring you a document?
Did you misunderstand me?
Annabelle knew that Nina would deny it.
So, she took out her phone and clicked the button.
Nina's voice was heard saying,
Well, the thing is I just received a call. There's another document that must be inputted into the system. I'm on my way with it. Just wait there.
Nina had no idea Annabelle recorded the phone call of last night. She bit her lip and responded,
It wasn't like that, Mr. Benton.
Don't trust Annabelle. Annabelle interrupted Nina with a mocking smile.
Are you going to claim that the recording is fake?
That I had someone synthesize it?
It's easy to prove it. We'll know whether it's true or not if we get an expert to analyze it.
Nina's face became pallid. She intended to say that the recording was a fake and that Annabelle wronged her, but now that Annabelle said so, she had nothing to say. The thought that Rupert could find an expert to examine the recording scared Nina.
Nina struggled to open her mouth.
Apologize to Annabelle, Rupert interrupted Nina.
Annabelle was shocked.
She thought that things wouldn't go so well.
Nina was a senior employee of Benton Group, and Annabelle and Rupert hated each other.
It seemed that Rupert was a man who could tell right from wrong.
Chapter 19 The Stolen Ring No. That meant Annabelle wasn't the girl Rupert met when he was a child.
A disappointed look was written all over Rupert's handsome face.
Oblivious to how he was feeling, Annabelle stared at him in suspicion.
What did he mean?
Did he want her to get kidnapped?
None of them said anything for the rest of the ride.
When they got home, Erica handed Rupert an invitation and said,
Don't forget Brock Norman is holding a banquet for his 70th birthday this weekend.
The banquet was scheduled to hold in Imperial Hotel, the most luxurious hotel in the city.
All the guests were either rich, powerful, or both.
Annabelle had gotten her fair share of attending banquets after the company's anniversary a few days back.
Much to her displeasure, Erica woke her up early in the morning and lectured her about it.
Get up.
You must not embarrass this family.
Erica uttered coldly, wagging her finger at Annabelle.
The banquet hall was bustling with life.
Many people were chatting and cheering in their dashing outfits.
However, the whole thing was boring to Annabelle.
She sat in a corner and looked around until her eyes fell on Rupert, who was standing out in the crowd like a star.
With a huff, she stood up and decided to go to the rooftop to get some fresh air.
She had just taken a few steps when a group of young women stopped her, Heather and her mean friends. Heather stretched out her hand to flaunt a shining diamond ring that made her look nobler. With a taunting smirk, she said, "See? This is a famous limited edition piece designed by world-class designer, Ada. My grandfather bought it at an auction abroad for my birthday last year." One of Heather's friends crooned, "Oh, it's so beautiful. It suits you perfectly. No one else can pull it off like you do. Gorgeous." The women's fawning behavior made Annabelle sick to her stomach. She looked at them with a frown. How shameless can these women be? As far as she was concerned, there was nothing special about that ring. It was beautiful, but the diamond was so small. It was nothing compared to the huge diamonds her own grandfather gifted her. "Excuse me, ladies." Annabelle moved to the side and walked past them without a backward glance. "Bumpkin. She's so classless." Heather and her friends cursed, glaring at her back. Annabelle spent a great deal of time on the rooftop. The moment she reluctantly returned to the banquet hall, a uniformed waiter pointed at her and shouted, "It's her. She's the one I saw just now." Annabelle halted in her tracks. She was at a loss what the waiter was insinuating. Where the hell did he see her? And why was he shouting? Heather burst through the crowd that had gathered in the blink of an eye. "So, it was you who stole my diamond ring." "Stole her diamond ring? What the hell?" Frowning deeply, Annabelle looked at Heather and asked, "What diamond ring?" Heather's friends surrounded Annabelle and joined in the accusation. "Gosh. I find it surprising that Rupert's fiancé is a thief. I'm not surprised at all. Bumpkins like her have no morals. Remember how she gawked at the ring when she saw it a while back? She can never afford such an expensive ring, so she stole it. Heather, there's no point exchanging words with her. Just call the cops." A realization hit Annabelle at this moment. These people were accusing her of stealing. It was a setup. She glanced at Heather's hand and found that the diamond ring was gone. "What's going on here?" Brock walked to the middle of the crowd with the aid of his walking stick. "Grandpa, please help me." Heather held her chest and put on a sad mask. Pointing at Annabelle, she continued, "This girl stole the diamond ring you gifted me. And she's pretending not to know anything about it. Don't worry, I have got this." Brock patted his granddaughter on the shoulder. Then he turned to Annabelle and inquired, "Did you steal Heather's diamond ring?" "No, sir," Annabelle replied calmly. Brock frowned and said, "I can afford to buy a million diamond rings. However, the missing one is Heather's favorite. If you have it with you, please hand it over. I'll buy you another one. Just return it now." Annabelle was shocked. "How can I return what I didn't take? The ring is not with me." "Shame on you, Annabelle. Someone saw you steal it with his own eyes. Why are you still denying it?" Bella Astley, one of Heather's friends, pulled the waiter who pointed at Annabelle and yelled angrily. Chapter 20 Flawless Schemo, really? Annabelle scoffed with a shake of her head. She could see through Heather and her friends, they were trying to set her up. It annoyed her, but she looked forward to seeing what they would do next. "Can someone explain to me what happened?" Brock asked with a frown. He found it hard to believe that Rupert's fiancé was a thief. Nonetheless, he had to listen to his granddaughter's cries because he doted on her and there was also an eyewitness. "Heather was showing us her diamond ring when Annabelle passed by and gawked at it for a long time. It was obvious she liked it." Bella stepped forward to explain. Annabelle's jaw dropped at how skillful she was at lying. "When did she say or act like she fancied the ring? And she stared at it for a long time." After a pause, Bella continued, "Before we went dancing, Heather took off the ring and put it in her purse. After we finished dancing, the ring was gone. We looked for it everywhere. This waiter told us that he happened to see someone steal my ring and that person was Annabelle." Heather added, still holding her chest as if her heart was aching badly. She deserved an Oscar for her excellent acting. Like the mastermind that she was, She planned a flawless scheme to humiliate Annabelle today. After the party, everyone would hate her and Rupert would refuse to marry her. After ousting this countrywoman, Heather envisioned how she would marry into the Benton family with ease. Unfazed by the lies, Annabelle sneered and turned to look at the waiter with sharp eyes. She asked, "Did you see me stealing Heather's ring?" A cold shiver ran down the waiter's spine. He lowered his head, not daring to look into Annabelle's sharp eyes. But he nodded and said in a small voice, "Yes, one saw it with my own eyes. Don't worry, she can't do anything to you. Just tell us the truth." Bella winked at him secretly. Taking the hint, the waiter raised his head and said, "When one went to the bathroom a few minutes ago, I saw this woman wearing the ring. I didn't think anything of it. But as soon as she saw me, she took it off and put it in her purse. Annabelle, how despicable can you be? Give Heather her ring now. You have brought shame to the Benton family. Don't make matters worse." Erica's snarky voice was suddenly heard. She came over with Kathy on her heels. "Calm down, Auntie. She's not part of the Benton family yet, so she can't bring us shame." Kathy tried to comfort her. Afterward, she glared at Annabelle and said, "This girl has turned out to be a thief. I'm sure Rupert won't marry her." These words turned more people against Annabelle. They believed without evidence that she was guilty. Annabelle sneered in the face of the strong antagonism from them. The matter was gradually getting out of hand. "Let's not drag this matter, Annabelle. Just hand over the ring you stole." Brock stretched out his left hand, his face darkening. He was fed up with the whole issue already. He hadn't expected such a thing would happen at his birthday party. Annabelle's patience and tolerance were running out. "I said I didn't take it." "You didn't take it?" "The waiter said you hid it in your purse. Open it if you are telling the truth." Heather grabbed Annabelle's arm just when the latter was about to walk away. Brock snapped his fingers, signaling the security guards to surround Annabelle. In the middle of this human barricade, Annabelle frowned. These people weren't going to let her go if the matter wasn't solved now. Annabelle had no choice but to hold out her purse to Heather. "You want to check it? Fine." Annabelle noticed that a hint of mischief flashed in Heather's eyes as she grabbed the purse. Heather handed the purse to the head of the security guards and ordered, "Open it and check it thoroughly." The security head immediately did as he was told. He unzipped the purse under the gaze of everyone present. "She's really the thief." Heather's shining diamond ring was in Annabelle's purse.